Hello, everybody, and welcome to We the People. Today's a very special episode. I got a very, very special guest, my confidant, my love, my support, you know, my guidance. Honey, I have my famous, famous Auntie Mame on the phone here. Hello, tell everyone who you are and how you're doing.
Hi, I'm Kara. I'm with my nephew on here. We got some things to discuss that the people really need to know. I'm going to let him start it off. Come on.
Absolutely. Thank you for that wonderful, beautiful introduction. So tonight we are talking about the 2020 election. You know, a lot of us thought it was over. A lot of us thought, you know, it was completely and finalized. But, you know, from the start, you know, it wasn't really rubbing my spirit, you know. When I first heard Donald Trump talking about the election, the president, about how it's going to be the greatest fraud in history, you know, some weeks prior, you know, with the voting mail imbalance, he has some concerns, and, you know, some, like anybody would. We never voted at this capacity to level a mail-in ballot. But we still, as a country, managed to deliver 37% or 93 million votes before the election, which is a huge turnout. And mind you, the election in 2016 turnout was 139 million votes. That is incredible. Imagine what this year is, the voter turnout. I can't even find it listed. There's no accurate number of how many people voted this year. So what I did, I took it upon myself to go ahead and calculate it with the numbers, because you really can't argue with numbers or math. And I calculated that the maximum amount that of eligible voters, minus, you know, felons or prisoners and U.S. territories such as Puerto Rico and Guam, will be 249,706,679,000 voters. Those are the eligible adults living in the U.S. as of 2019 U.S. Census report, because we don't have the 2020 census until, you know, next April. So given every adult in the entire country will vote, that would be, you know, that number. With divided by 4,500, that's the maximum balance per hour that can be scanned. And if we just take a simple equation, time equals rate divided by distance, or, you know, this case, we want to know how long and how what we want to know is how many machines will we need, you know, how long will it take, pretty much, you know. So we plug those numbers in. So the big number, the 249 million votes divided by the ballots per hour. So that's going to reduce to times 24 hours. You know, we have 24 hours in the day. So we're going to get, let me break that down again. So the number, our aim, the 249 million divided by the 4,500 ballots per hour, that's the rate. Get you, that's the rate. And so you can say that the distance would be 249. That's the amount we have to get to, 249 million votes divided by the rate, ballots per hour, 4,500 equals 108,000. If we divide that, you know, we get 108,000 because we have 24 hours in a day. So you have to multiply that number times 24. So we get 100. So when we divide those together, so we're all like, okay, I get that number. So that's pretty cool, 108,000. Okay, what we're going to do now with that number? So we're going to take, okay, that number again, 108,000. We're going to divide it by the aim, the distance, 249 million divided by 108,000. We're going to get 2,300 roughly, so 2,312 machines. That's what we need to determine the winner. So, okay, that's doable. So we take that number. So what we got so far, we got the 249 million divided by 108,000. Okay, the reason why we got 108,000 because we have to multiply that. You know, we got $4,500 ballots per hour, but we have 24 hours in a day. So we have to multiply that number to get the 108,000, if you follow. So now we got that number, 2,312, when we divided that number. Now we have that. That's the amount of machines we need to determine. That's the equipment. That's what we need to figure out. That's what we need to get there. So, okay, that makes sense. You know how your miles per hour, how many, you know, miles per hour you need to go to get somewhere. So in this case, to get to the amount of votes, we need 2,312 machines to determine the winner. So divide that by 50 states. That's 46 machines. Or, you know, ballot makers or whatever, ballot scanners per hour, per state. Okay, that's pretty cool. So I asked the question, okay, 46 machines per state, that's doable. Why did it take 4 days to determine the winner if we had 93 million people or 37% who already voted, even with the restrictions of people not being able to do it the day of? We still managed to do half of the 249 million and some change, you know, last election. So there's no reason or no excuse not to have that amount of votes counted. Mind you, it's not just one person scanning it, putting each paper. You can scan 4,500 ballots per hour because it's 800 ballots per stack. Now, if we just took the 800 times 4,500, that's 345,000. 345,000 divided by 46, you know, machines. That's 75,000. That's 7,500 scans within 24 hours. It's a lot for one person. But mind you, this volunteer, so let's do a scenario, 15 people who can scan, that's 500 scans in a 24-hour period. Very doable. So that's what, 46 machines, that's 7,500 scans. Girl, somebody lying. And I ain't calling you a truther. I think both sides need to own up to any side, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or in between. Everybody needs to own up to the mathematical thing. When we get into these issues of an election and things of that nature, everyone's, you know, fighting and very divisive over certain things about who, you know, is the winner, who's not the winner. You need to be asking the right questions. And the fact of the matter is, the question is that I want to ask everybody, why did it take 4 days? Why did it take so long to determine a winner? Why did it take 4 days? We never seen that any time in history before. We have to be prepared. People want Donald Trump out of office, right? So, of course, you're going to have your shit together in order to determine the answer. Ain't nobody was playing. People were in line with their masks all damn day. There's no excuse. And there's not just one person scanning. There's possibly multiple people scanning. They have a system in place. It's a certain way you do it. And I got all these numbers from the websites listed themselves. I wasn't just pulling these numbers out my ass. So these numbers are actually accurate. And I got this checked by a really, you know, really, really wise person who's actually a math major, I believe, or a science major. Really, really, really well versed in math. And they checked my numbers and they said it was actually completely accurate. They don't see any errors. I got the 4,500 from the Quick Start Management Guide, voting at the rate of balance scanning, and I got that. It says the effective rate of balance scan that can be achieved on election night is from approximately 25% of the maximum rate of speed of the scanner. A central ballot scanner that's rated at a maximum speed of 300 ballots per minute will effectively scan about 75 ballots per minute or 4,500 ballots per hour on election night. For example, if you have 100,000 ballots, that's five machines that you need to get that answer. So that's where I got that from. And I got the base of the U.S. Census from the U.S. Census report. You can find it online. It's there. This is all public information. I just plugged it in with the simple speed of, you know, the time equals distance over speed because ballots per hour, miles per hour. And I make the dang, it doesn't make really much of a difference. You can plug in any number as long as the same rules apply. It's all mathematics. It's all facts. And I want to hear this from you. Tara, my aunt, my beautiful aunt, what do you have to say about this, you know, and, you know, with this information now that this is actually mathematically proven, what are your concerns and what were your feelings towards this election, how the, you know, the ballot counting was, you know, commenced and how the, you know, the results were? Were you surprised? Were you kind of baffled? Were you uneasy? What's your whole feeling about this, given this information that you just now have?
Well, I was baffled because, mind you, there were early voting. Okay, you had up into November 3rd to cast your vote. Now, what happened to the people that voted early? Those votes should have been counted already. Just because you have up into the 3rd, that's the last day you can put in your vote. That don't mean they start counting votes that day. They started counting votes the day of the early voters that came in. And the absentee voters, those, I didn't understand why those votes were last when those were the mail-in ballots that people mailed in. Those got to the polls before the people that stood in line got to the polls. So why were those votes last to be counted? That's where I feel some underhanded things happen with, I know they wanted, like you said, Donald Trump out of office, but you have to be fair. If we're going to run a country and we're talking about equality and fairness and freedom and this America's great, well, how is America's great if it's built on a lie? If we go through this system, you know, the America getting caught in all these different lies. I mean, not to mention the promises of, you know, my black brothers and sisters and brown brothers and sisters, you know, we know it's been built on a lie, but now they have the Caucasian votes there. Now they see how America is just built on a lie themselves, because many people, I saw Trump, he was in head of Biden. Okay, Then they're going to say, okay, it takes 270. He's the first to get to 270. But first, all the states were red. And then all of a sudden, they turned blue after so many days. Every day they were just stretching it out. Oh, we don't have all the votes in. They waited until it was predominantly blue before they decided, okay, now we're going to stop the vote, and Joe Biden won. But Trump had already won the election. He had already won it early on when it first started that first day, and he knew it. That's why he mentioned it in his speech. I just feel like it's this, in all fairness, I don't care, you know, Donald Trump is not a politician. He's a businessman. And the Democrats, you know, has been known to do some underhanded things to try to get things their way. And poor Joe Biden, I have to say this, he's just going to be used as a puppet out there for the past presidents, the past Democrats that tried to run for office and didn't make it. I shouldn't have to mention any names. Everybody know. So I was more baffled to how America can really just think that they can get away with fooling people. They'll put the numbers out there thinking nobody is educated enough to really dissect the numbers like you did. They just put them out there because nobody's going to calculate this. Nobody, you took time to calculate it. And most people just scroll on by. But we as a people need to stop scrolling by and just really do our research and find out who's going to be over us, because that's the important thing. This affects our life. Whoever's over us is going to affect our life. And the way that it's going now, I don't like the things that I'm hearing about the Democratic Party. You know, they're trying to make this vaccine mandate. You know, they have a person, vice president in office, that was not good for the black people. I don't know what makes like black people think that she's good for them now. She wasn't good for them before. So I'm baffled and I'm upset because I think it was an unfair vote. I don't care about me, myself. I'm not gonna say I was a Trump supporter. I'm not going to say I was a Biden supporter. To be honest, there was nobody in office that I thought that was really worthy. But if I had to lean toward anybody, it would have been Donald Trump, because he did things and he made changes that was never made with all the promises the Democrats made us for years and years and years. They always take it and try to get the sympathy I'm trying to come up with the right word.
Victim consciousness is what I get. The victim mentality.
They take that and they use the black people's mentality to think, okay, we're for the poor. We're going to help you. But there's not been a Democrat in office that's ever did anything for the poor, and they want to blame all this Black Lives Matter, thinking Trump has something to do with that. Black Lives Matter. I've never seen a Democrat go out there and fight for Black Lives Matter. Black people were getting killed and by the police when President Obama was in office. There were black people getting killed. There was nothing.
Massacres.
Nothing done about it. Okay. Now they want to put it all on Donald Trump's shoulder, like he started this massacre. No, this massacre started over 400 years ago in slavery, and it never stopped. Now they just have a more modern way of enslaving us and oppressing us through the prison system and the police killing us and getting away with it. Now, Donald Trump did put money into the black communities, into the Latino communities. The Democrats never did that. He wanted to raise the minimum wage. They didn't want to do that. Miss Kamala, where everybody call her Kamala, but it's actually spelled Kamala. She's a Hindu, okay, from India. Her parents were just, they were, what you call them? They weren't from America. They were immigrants, okay. And I've done a lot of research on her. Plus, I lived in her history of running, being a DA, of California. I lived in that history of how she locked up many black people for a $5 sack of weed. I lived in it. Was in San Francisco when she had all these rules of she started that school truancy program, and she would show up at the doors with the police to go arrest parents when their child was truant. Mind you, this poor lady was dropping her son off at school every day to get to work. She dropped him off, watch him walk through the doors. Mind you, she had three children. She fought and pleaded her case because she didn't know her son was cutting school. Once we drop our children off and they go in the door, we're content. Okay, we could drive going off. We seen him walk in. But that child, just as easily as she drove off, he walked out. So she had no knowledge of that. So she pleaded her case so hard in court. And Kamala, well, you guys call Kamala, is actually Kamala, is an Indian name.
Guess what that means? It means the sour. Ka meaning the, Mala mean aching, the sour. Kamala means the sour. She lives up to her name. That's in Hawaiian etymology of that.
Exactly. I'm glad you dissected that name, because she had that lady locked up for over, I think it was, she gave her 16 months away from her three children, because one child was truant and she had no power over it because she was provided children by going to work, dropping him off at school and going to work, because she found out that he was cutting. And so she started driving him to school and watching him walk through the doors. So after she drives off, he leaves. So how is that fair to her not to know that her not to know that he's at school when he walked through those doors? Hell, they should have a person there. When you walk through the school doors, you're that child's parent. When that child walked through those school doors, you're no longer his parent for that day. So the staff, the staff, the teachers, all of them are the parents of the children that walked through those school doors. They should have they should have more security, and they should have really dug into her, locking her up. I mean, this election was just rigged. It was totally rigged by the Democrats, because they've been known to do a lot of underhanded things. And I think a country being won unfairly is going to be unfair. That's what we have to see. Anything that's won unfairly is to be treated fair. So everybody wanted Joe Biden in there. Now, don't cry now. Once he's in there and he starts doing things that you don't like, such as the mandate vaccine that's been out for 7 months. But hell, AIDS, cancer, all these other different diseases that they haven't been able to cure, that's been around for over 40 years now. But you could come up in 7 months and come up with a cure for a deadly virus. Come on now.
That's unprecedented, that we have never seen before.
Trust us to take this damn vaccine?
It makes no sense, and it's just very dangerous. And I feel like, you know, both sides are in cahoots together, Republican and Democrat, to usher in a new wave of control. And, you know, where I live in right now in Los Angeles, they were talking about initiating a curfew and now censoring people at LAX Airport. If, you know, come out the plane, they're going to be coronavirus testing everyone. They're talking about that there was a week of increase of 1 million coronavirus cases last week, I guess 10 million. Now it's up to 11 million. Like, what is going on? I said, I live in LA, you know, not in the greatest economic stable area. And the only people I see without masks are people who are homeless. But mind you, the homeless are more immune than anybody else. Because think about this way, than anybody else. So there's no excuse.
Think about this.
There's no excuse.
Think about this, nephew. They want to get a curfew. Now think about this. This is what the Democrats were. I really don't believe in them, because, and when President Obama was in office, they, him and Hillary, were working together. What they wanted to do was make this a one world order. And this is what this seems like is leading up to. Okay, that's mandated, you know, vaccines, curfew. That's all communism. Communism been always known to have curfew in their countries. There, it's been like that from
the 80s.
I remember, you know, they had to be indoors at a certain time. They're run this country just like the communists run it. They want that one world order. And that's why Obama didn't want Trump in office. He wanted another Democrat that was going to go along with their plan when he was in office. And it's just so striking to me that two people, President Obama, which was not an ancestry of slavery, Hillary Clinton, which her father marched because he didn't want his children going to school with black children, and she marched right along with them. These are things that's in their back. And Joe Biden, he has said he didn't want his children from the state of Delaware where he lived or grew up. He didn't want his children going to school with black kids. He said something about, I don't want them to be going to school in a zoo with, like, calling us like animals, like, you know, monkeys. And there were many words and President Trump told him about. And then they talked about, oh, President Trump, yeah, he got kids in cages. But who built the cages? Biden, when he was in government all these 47 years or more, he was the one, along with his
Obama,
his cabinet, they built those cages in Mexico. Those cages were there before Trump even entered office.
Yes, he was basically just carrying it on the order. Yes, and he was carrying it on the order.
All this is political, everything.
Jargon.
Because Obama, President Obama, how the hell did he know that this type of flu, he didn't name it. He just said, before he left office, he said, there's a flu that's going to hit. I don't know what type of flu it's going to be. People, do your research. Go on YouTube. You can find that. When President Obama said it was going to be a flu.
That Bill Gates, too.
Okay. But he of it.
There's a lot of research about that, too. They're talking about Bill Gates. He came on there and did, like, a national, you know, like a report update when he left Microsoft, he stepped down.
Yeah.
And they are asking him questions about population control and how, like, there's some people on the planet. Because, mind you, his ancestors are Darwinists, basically. They believe in, like, selective genes, basically, that only certain people should be able to exist, pretty much. That goes back to slavery. And black people, you know, how they used to target black women with, like, I'm going to say the truth, abortion and things of that nature, honey. It's a dark history that you have to look into America. There's racism built in the DNA of America. But they believe that in, like, a, you know, an all-white, you know, race, like a perfect race where only certain people should have access to the planet and its resources.
Right.
That's what they believe in. They call eugenicists. Look at the word eugenicists.
Yes.
His family ancestors are eugenicists. And so are a lot of the rich families in this country are eugenicists. They believe in those principles.
Right.
Now, he was talking about this a few years ago.
They've been talking about it ever since. Remember the global warming?
Yes. Okay.
So every so many years, they have to kill off so many millions of people because of the global warming. And so they
fear it.
Right. And only the rich, really, they want to survive. And that's the sad side to the whole story.
Oh,
is
my goodness. I don't believe it. That's so true.
And that's really why I don't, sad. They are all just like, you know, it is really sad because they're going to be protected. Their families are going to be protected. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about the American people, but the American people are just, you know, I hate to say it. I don't want to call you stupid.
We're asleep.
But yeah, you're not woke. Your people,
the false woke, and possible. Everyone say that they're woke and they're not woke.
And you see what they're using. Okay, they use the BL movement was basically a propaganda for the LGBTQ or however you say it, and it was propaganda. They took it. They used it for their own platform. I've done research. The women that were out there, the Caucasian women that were out there that was posting all on Facebook about Save Our Black Kids, Stop Killing Our Black Men. I clicked on their pages, and every last one of them were lesbian, okay? And then, not only that, they're using, I don't want to lose my train of thought, not the other movement, the other movement. They're using, feminists.
Feminism.
Now, they're trying to push feminism. That's how the Democrats is trying to win. Because they feel like, oh, the feminists, that you notice that it's everything in the running in his campaign was always something that was about women, support for women for this, support for women for that, support for women for that, because that's how they were able to get all this push. Now, I am a woman myself, but I don't believe in feminism, okay? Because I believe that every female needs a male, be it that he's gay or straight, needs a male figure in their life. And this, I am a feminine woman, but I don't believe in feminists because I don't think this country just don't. We need men. We need all they're doing is knocking down the black man by putting this feminist control in control. They're taking the black man. I mean, they want to put a female on a dollar bill on currency. You know, they want to put they want to put that. But,
and they're incentivizing it too.
All the black powerful men like Frederick Douglass and Martin Luther King. Right. Martin Luther King. And
what happened to that?
Why can't they go on a currency? Why does a female? Because that's what they're pushing. They're pushing this feminist thing. Like, we don't need men, but actually what they're doing, they're not just saying we don't need men. They're trying to downgrade the black man. They're trying to take his power and his voice away by pushing the feminism. You know, I hate these liberal women when they came out with all this liberty. Then you want to get mad when your boyfriend don't open up your car door. Well, hell, you said you want to be a damn liberal. Liberalize your ass over there and open your own damn door.
Oh my gosh. You know what's so crazy about the black community too? Uh-huh. Back in the 90s, 94, when Joe Biden and the elect president Bill Clinton, you know, continued the war on drug smear campaign from, I believe it was President, I want to say Nixon, but I'm not too sure. But there was a president that entered the war on drugs campaign. Someone fact checked that for me.
Oh.
But on Twitter. And there was it could have been Reagan, but there was a war on drugs, and that continued all the way into the 90s with the war on drug campaign, when they invested, I believe it was $8 billion into the police force and major cities. $8 billion is a lot of money. And what we found out, that the police became a militia police force, and that basically black guys on the street, black African males, were targeted disproportionately compared to white men for drugs, you know,
right,
crack cocaine. But who created crack and cocaine?
The white
no one
man.
Talks about that.
The white
exactly man. And you know, black men found a cheaper way, the black community found a cheaper way of building it, and they wanted to criminalize drugs. When you shouldn't be criminalizing drugs, you should be advocating for mental health, like they did in the country, I believe it was Portugal,
right,
who decriminalized drugs and found a safer, it was an increase of exponentially positivity. It turned out that, you know, there was a better society now because of decriminalized drugs. But that, mind you, now to go back to America and the 90s, when they basically did this war campaign and they built up the prison industrial complex with millions, millions of dollars factored in, you know, billionaires owning prisons now. You're now a number, and now you can, like, you know, prison system for, like, just having weed. Weed wasn't always legal. So you get locked up for 6 months for having weed, and gets you this thing. What that does, it breaks up the household, and then their sons that they can't raise now are on the streets hustling, trying to make ends meet because they don't understand the school system, because they're not...
Hello?
Yes. As I was saying, the thing about the whole disenfranchisement of the black men and how they've been sent to prison in the industrial complex, the worst part about it, how you talked about feminism and, you know, this rise in women, there can also be a thing called toxic femininity. You know, you talk about the toxic masculine, but toxic femininity is the same thing. Now, this part, they incentivize that aspect and behavior of the strong black woman don't need no man, right? When they give you a welfare check because your man's not at home, you'll get a welfare check. You'll get an EBT card.
You know, you have, you know, somewhat independence, but no, you have a codependence with the government. A lot of us don't know that the first toxic relationship that we have is with the government. We have people out here with a toxic relationship with the Democrats who incentivize on, you know, they capitalize on the victim mentality of Black people that they basically propose. Mind you, Democrats were the first ones.
Right.
The whole slavery and the whole war on slavery is because the only reason why we don't have slavery and emancipation is only because the South was getting too economically powerful and the North was jealous. And so they started the Civil War over that, over money. What they're doing today is always about follow the damn dollar. It was never about because Black people were suffering. They didn't give a damn as long as they weren't suffering. It's because their bank account, their pockets got too low. So we got to put the Black people on top to balance the scales. But we're still working on this. That's why a great writer said that racism is built in the DNA of America. Viola Davis said that in her role.
That,
How to Get Away with Murder. The racism is built in the DNA of America. And it still is. It still is.
That's right.
And it has not changed.
It has not changed. And, you know, people, they say, well, the reason for Black people, like saying that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, you know, but there, you know, he freed the slaves, but there was a discrepancy. The only way he was going to free us if we would have fought in the war. Now, he used the Black men to fight the war, you know, from the Confederates and the Yankees, whatever. He said the only way that we will be free if we sign up. That's why we were freed. It was the heart of his heart. But the white man still was upset because it was a white man that freed the slave. So they shot him and killed him. That's why they don't think he's worth shit. They put him on a penny. You know, but
yeah, come on,
and on the penny, his head is turned backwards from all the other coins because they said he turned his back. Yes, they said because he turned his back on the white man. So
my God, that's a word right there.
Yeah, so and the reason I really don't like too much about Kamala, they call Kamala
the sour.
You know, right? Because when she went to Howard University, she had a fraudulent birth certificate, okay? Number one, just to get in. Okay, but when she got there, she was a sorority sister called the Caribbeans. And she had a name for the Blacks in the college. She called us Nigger Yankees.
That's so disrespectful.
I know somebody that went to school with her. And that's where the information is very credible. He went to school with her at Howard University. And he said that's what her sorority sisters, the Caribbean sisters, whatever they were called, Caribbean, they looked at Black people as, they called them Nigger Yankees.
Oh, my God. So she has no ancestry that relates to the struggle of Black people in America.
She does not. She's all about winning. And she's in there because she knows what she think her position is going to be. She think because Joe Biden is the oldest president that got elected. So she think, okay, once something happens to him, she's going to step up and be president. And it's so sad because Black people fall into that gap because they're looking at the face. We can't look at how a person looks. Oh, he's fine. I want to put him in office. Or you know, she's Black. So they'll get that brown face and put that face in there because she's not dark at all. She's just brown because Indians are dark from India. Hindus, they're dark. You know, so it's a lot to it. And people are falling into the gap of deception because they're using them as to make to get that Black vote.
As tools. They're usually tools. I remember Joe Biden went live on Cardi B with a rapper trying to get the vote saying, oh, my daughter listens to your music. Like, are you kidding me right now? We're not ignorant. Everyone heard the WAP song, yes. But mind you, even if that wasn't out, don't try to use that. You're using to abuse us and you're looking foolish. You're trying to use that to capitalize that Donald Trump is responsible for the anger and the unrest. Honey, racism and everything was there. It just got, people started to care about it because Donald Trump was in office. that means right. Donald Trump is actually a good person and possibly a light worker because he catalyzed the darkness that was in everybody, whether right. that was Democrat, whether that was Republican, whether that was black or white. He brought right. it up under the rug. You can't keep sweeping this under the rug. If you have hatred in your heart, it's coming out under the surface. It doesn't That's matter right. who you are. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, non-Christian, whatever your religion is, whatever your status is. If you hate right. another person, I don't care right. who it is, Donald Trump, you have some issues within yourself that you need to deal with. And that's the reason why people are mad, because Donald Trump is actually a mirror for us to look at ourselves deeply and see what is going on internally. If the name Donald Trump triggers you, then you have a problem. He never put that trigger there. You have your own damn trigger.
But why wasn't he triggered when he wasn't a president? All the black people liked him. There was nothing said about him being racist until he became president. I've never seen, because they knew he wasn't a politician and he wasn't going to do
smear campaign.
He wasn't going to do things politically, because he was going to do it right. He was going to make sure America was ran right, and that's what they didn't like. They wanted it. They
wanted a puppet,
right? And they got one. And Kamala, she's just there. Kamala, she's just there because she thinks, okay, because she has that brown skin, and so that's why people voted, you know. And I hate that our black people are so asleep and they're not woke to what's really happening. They're so asleep. You know, they need to wake up and really see what's really going on, because what they did was, all they did was put our whole country in danger of communism. And
yes, especially with the coronavirus.
Yeah, that virus was there, and that virus was put out by the United States. They're trying to say, oh, it came from Wuhan. No, the United States put that virus out, and they spread it, and they didn't know it was going to get out of hand like this.
Absolutely.
So
I agree. I absolutely agree.
So it's sad, because there's a lot of things, and they never talk about Trump signing a paper for police reform. They never put that out. Now, Biden want to take away our rights of having a handgun, but hell, who's not going to have a handgun in their home against a predator or something that comes in? And especially that white people have access and have been training their kids from young to go out and hunt deer and all that. They're not just teaching them to hunt deer. They're teaching them to be sharpshooters.
Video games, too. Let's talk about that. Call of Duty. I don't know a lot of people know about Call of Duty. That was actually a military training for people to learn how to shoot, so they become desensitized when they kill people. Now it's a world-renowned game in GTA. And GTA, think of GTA. Look at the collective consciousness right now.
Right.
Look at all the mass looting and the unrest. What are people doing? They're doing what GTA does. You go in and you have to loot stuff. You have to steal stuff to go on missions. You have to basically hit somebody.
Right.
And you basically have to act like a fool. And then you got the modern warfare people shooting people. That's from the Call of Duty. Major people play, they make billions of dollars, the video game industry, mind you. They make a lot of money. And people are ingrained in our young men and our young women too's mindset to go out and shoot someone like it's fun to do. I met a person who says that, oh, I love murder. I watched this like it's like
nothing.
He was thinking like it was so normal to him. He watched these things like it's a show, I guess, in the Mexican TV channels that he's watching. They show murders.
Right.
Some murder like it's nothing. I'm like, that gets into your collective consciousness. We watch people getting shot and killed. The more we watch it, the more desensitized, the more we accept it as the norm. And this is not normal. It's not normal.
It's not normal.
To find someone dead and you just scroll past it. Don't you scroll past it. Say something. And say, this is unacceptable. I don't want to live in a world where I see this anymore. Stop posting it and stop making the rules, you know, to where it's for their game.
Right.
You're using for their
own or for their own game.
It's not right to use us as fucking totems for your own political ambition. We're not tools for you.
And what he's doing, and they don't understand, he's actually setting America up for more crime, because if you're not going to be able to go into the store and buy a weapon, trust me, there's people selling weapons. You don't have to go into the store. Yeah, if you're going to be able to buy a weapon off the street from someone. He's actually setting up America for more crime. And it's like, if the whole thing is a setup, it's a setup for our black people to be back enslaved under the Democratic law. We were Republicans when we were able to vote. We were first Republicans. Okay.
Yes, we were.
Everybody changed their votes in the 60s. The black people started becoming Democratic and stuff because of Kennedy.
JFK. That's the only reason why.
Right. Because he was behind Martin Luther King. I mean, all these.
And they killed him.
We have all these leaders that's so-called civil rights leaders that's in the in the Senate, like, they were just sit there, like, I hate to say it, like the NAACP, you know, mm-hmm. they did do what they were supposed to do back when Martin Luther King was
marching.
But now they're just there as a, like, the okay, you go comfort this family. You know, it's just like to kind of give us a at ease feeling.
Mm. You know,
but it doesn't really.
Wait, you want to like, cause corruption? What about the man that died? What's his name? The senator, you know, the one for civil rights. I'm gonna find his name. He talked about getting into good trouble.
Oh, you know, a lot of people talking about yes. he just died like about
he 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Yes. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He actually John Lewis.
Yeah, John Lewis.
He marched in Selma.
Right.
John Lewis just died. Talking about getting in good trouble.
Right.
Where is the good trouble now? Everyone's taking everything at face value. Oh, go march, go stand outside. But where are you guys working?
Right.
You guys are sitting there on millionaire salaries. You know how much Barbara Boxer, I'm in California, honey. And everyone knows about Barbara Boxer. How much this bitch makes, her salary. Her net worth is insane.
Do you know what
she did?
She was making when she was messing with Mayor Brown in San Francisco. He put her in a high position. She was only working 15 hours a week, getting $52,000 a year to work 15 hours.
$3 million
a
year.
And then he put her in another position where she worked 20 hours a week, was making over $150,000 a year.
Oh, my God. There's an article. So, that's crazy. There's an article out right now about it. The richest person in Congress right now, the Visa Republican who amassed his fortune, the founder of a car alarm giant, has a minimum net worth of $254.7 million. Mm-hmm. He's the voice of Viper anti-theft car alarm. Could that make sense? Because he has those business ordeals and stuff.
Right.
But as far as Barbara Boxer and stuff like that, making like, you know, I believe it's 2.3. I think the poorest one right now is retiring, has a minimum net worth of $1.09 million.
Right.
You know, it keeps going. They're like, basically, they have millions of dollars.
Right.
Okay, but I look at it right now. It's not just that. What they're able to do and what they're able to accumulate.
Right.
The fourth richest California Congress, Pelosi, has a minimum net worth. You know, that bitch Nancy Pelosi, and the stimulus check. She has to say, this bitch made her net worth is $29.3 million.
Could just get up there and
I guess because she has some property, things of that nature, and she has other things she could have done. But $29.3 million, we don't know that we actually fund these Congress members.
Right.
They get millions of dollars for their campaigns.
Right.
$29.3 million? Donald Trump doesn't even take the $400,000 and he's the fucking president. He doesn't even take the damn wage.
Right.
What the fuck is he
doing? And people get mad at him because he was trying to reform. He did sign the reform, but he also said it's up to the county mayors. It's up to the city mayors, the governors of that state
to
do something about that crime. You know,
yes,
that crime has been there, and the crime has been there way when President Obama was in office. I'm sorry, but I don't know anything that he did to stop the crime. I don't see him. I didn't see him walking the streets of Chicago. So they'll put our leaders, our civil rights leaders, they'll put them out there, just like Elijah Cummings. Elijah Cummings was another one. He was nothing but working in the Senate. He worked in there. He was a black something. I don't know what he was, but he was a civil rights. He worked in the civil rights department.
U.S. representative from Maryland.
He did everything the white man told him to do, to just keep our people at ease. Okay. And that's why I'm so against this feminist stuff, because we need our black men. They're just basically trying to take the power from the black man to make him back that slave mentality, to give him back that, like, he's not worthy. He can't.
My God.
We don't need you. What family, like you were saying before we were cut off about every family, you know, you need that father image in the home. Why make a woman think she, you know, we can do? I always say a woman does her best as raising her sons, but a man do it best. You know what I'm saying? Because
you better say that,
right? Because that man in the home, it really does a lot of change. A lot of our young men wouldn't have been in prison, in jail. If you look at the statistics of all the black men that's in jail and prison, most of them came from broken homes. The number is very much higher, came from broken homes. homes where the mother was trying to raise them with no help from the father, because the United States made, they gave them the they oppressed us, and they're still oppressing us. That's why Monique is out there fighting for her rights, because she know what they were doing and how the blacks were underpaid. But we have the people in power that have money, like Tyler Perry, you know, all those people with the power and the money, you know, they're telling her behind closed doors, oh, you know, I got you. You know, I know, I understand what you're saying. But when it comes before the screen in front of the public eye, they're denying they even had the conversation. Oprah Winfrey, all of them, they're denying it. And it's so sad. It's so sad because we as a people, we think about our own bag, you know, but we have to start thinking like our ancestors thought. It, you know, one child, like they say, it takes a village to raise a child. That Absolutely. One child should belong to every black mother and father. I don't care if you see, you know, all these kids that's walking around. You know, when I was growing up, anybody could whoop your butt. I don't care. You know, we had like some structure. In Oakland, California, the Black Panthers had the police under, they had them under wraps. They could not, that's why they sent that drug in, because the Black Panthers Party had it sold up, because they were dirty white cops that they kept those cops where they had at bay, where, you know, you're not going to overpower our people. You're not going to just and take our people. You didn't hear about them putting their knee on our neck back in the 60s and the 70s when the Black Panther Party was the movement. But now we got these little youngsters that's woke, kind of, they have some that's woke, and they're not taking it. So if they think it's going to be that easy to pull this little mockery they got in the Democratic position, everybody that wants to, you know, oh, no, we need this, the first black woman in, you know, well, hell, they said Obama was a black man, but hell.
He wasn't. We can't really prove
know,
it.
I mean, of course we want to see a man of color. Of course. But if you, to me, have no slavery ancestry, you're really not black to me.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
And I'd rather have a man of integrity over anything.
Right. You're not black to me. You just sit there to appease the black people to get the vote. They knew every black person was going to come out and vote for Obama because he was black. Okay, he had his 15 minutes of fame. Now he was out there campaigning for Joe Biden, which I said, okay, I see what's going on here. Like Hillary was working with Obama when he was president. She wants to stay in the front of the Democratic Party. She wants to be able to have a say. She was married to Bill Clinton when he was in office. Well, hell. Bill Clinton was talking like he was for the people, but I found out this through research, a lot of people don't know. Every president that we have had has been related, except for one, Van Bruen, I think his name was. All the other presidents were related, like through cousins, way down cousins. I mean, Obama was related down all cousins to the Bushes. The Bushes was related to Roosevelt, Hamilton. Every president we had a relation except for Donald Trump and Van Bruen, or whatever it is. I think it was President Van Bruen.
It's absolutely true. I researched that a long time ago. I found the little girl had actually did a map, and she traced it all the way back.
Right.
It's absolutely true. That's funny you mentioned that. She's
right.
True. Exactly.
So that's
You're
what
true.
They're doing, is they're trying to keep it. All the ones that that run
the bloodline.
They try to keep it in the bloodline. They try to keep. And that's what they have against Trump, too, is because he's not related to them. He's not. He has no relation to any of those presidents. But every last one of the presidents, from the first president, from President Washington, all the way down to Obama, is related somehow. Bill Clinton.
That's so crazy.
It is. It's so crazy.
But it's so real.
So that lets you know when they put somebody up there to run, they already know their background. They know who their ancestry. They know who they're related to. All of them. All of them are related.
Oh my God. That's so crazy.
Yes.
And then think, and think, you know, it kind of makes sense because of how they kind of maneuver.
Yeah.
And think of this thing called epigenetics. Epi means above. Right. So basically, your ancestors have a fear or something. Basically, the reason why you have a fear over like tight spaces, it could be that your ancestor, your grandpa, had like a train accident or something like that. He was in clothes. Right. So imagine the presidency, how they have epigenetics, so where they have a politically inclination right. to go and select an officer.
Right.
You know, they have that genetics from their ancestors, so they continue down the family bloodline. So they might have similar.
That's why they want. That's why they want things. Biden in there because he's related.
You see what I'm saying? Because he could be related.
He shouldn't have even made it.
78. He just made 78.
Never even made it into the, what do you call it? The voting. He shouldn't even made it into the.
This should be a limit to how old.
Yeah,
he should
there
be.
Should
I'm
be
sorry,
a limit because he's too old. You know, and
way too old. He can die at any single
right.
time.
And that
especially
leaves,
there were
a
crisis. Who's gonna fucking fill in the job? It's not like you're just gonna fill in and it's easy. You know, it's a major job. You know, especially during a pandemic, this is not easy
right.
to do.
And if
I don't
he
understand.
Dies,
everyone wants to bring Trump.
I swear, I
exactly.
swear, if he dies, who's, I'm gonna be the first one to try to start a petition to vote again. We don't need Kamala as a president.
No, absolutely not. Please don't let that happen. That's what this is all about, is to get Biden into office so she can
right.
get in.
Right, and he's related, but Trump is not, so they don't want him in there.
They don't, because, you know, think about Trump, you know, even though his father has an ancestry of, you know, wealth and things
right.
of that nature, Trump, you know, has to build and continue that wealth. It's a lot of
right.
work. And for anybody to manage billions of dollars in
right.
equity, and, you know, people say, and this is what I don't like about rape allegations. I'm like, I'm not trying to be rude to anybody or any woman, but every woman that I've noticed that came up with these allegations have been very unattractive.
Yes.
And if anybody knows this, Donald Trump has fine taste.
Right.
Look at Ivanka Trump as the most beautiful woman I've probably seen that president ever have. And that's no cap.
Right.
And mind you, Donald Trump having a modeling agency that signed, guess who? Paris Hilton, who was a victim of abuse. And trauma.
And,
so
yes.
If he ever got
and
any
guess what?
That he had any type of predatorial things, she would be the first one to call his ass out, especially during the Me Too movement. She got not backlash for saying, oh, you have no right to be speaking about the Me Too movement because you didn't call out Trump. Because honestly, it's not true. He's not anything, you know, to charge them. There's men, there are women out there who will say that you sexually assaulted
right.
somebody. You didn't do it. It's happened before.
Right.
And people, black men, been murdered because of that. And that's even a child got murdered over the allegation of, you know, Emmett Till,
right.
anybody? And I don't give a damn. Can someone really think about this? That he's not.
Yeah, you know,
he's
and they
not.
Call him, you know what they
no,
call him, racist, and they didn't know. And they should know if they research. He was engaged to a black woman for 2 years.
Really?
Donald Trump was engaged to a black woman for 2 years. And if
I
you ever look at the women that he's with, they're never just Caucasian. They're from some other country, or they're not just white.
And very attractive.
Very,
and very
yeah, because
beautiful.
They're not real. They're not. They're really not. From this country, they have. They're from some type of other descent. He was engaged
exactly.
to a black woman for 2 years.
Exactly, and he's a billionaire,
right.
and he owns a lot of stuff. You think him having sexual allegations
right.
not going to ruin his career? That would have ruined his
yeah.
career
now,
ages yeah. ago. And they're talking about that he called for the execution of the Central Park Five. Well, a lot of people don't know about the Central Park Five. Every white man in fucking America said that the black men, those five black boys, did it. Donald Trump thought that it was so horrific that he did it, so he said, you know, lock them up, they should be killed. Okay, but that was the law then. That was the possibility for people to get executed, things like that, and those nature. The laws have
right.
changed. Of course, he was passionate in the fact that he doesn't want women to be violated. So why would he violate another woman? He was that passionate saying they should be killed for a woman to be violated. So why would he violate another woman? If he was that passionate to say someone should be killed for violating a woman sexually, why would he have sexual allegations himself? He must feel very passionate
right.
and protective of the women that
right.
he loves. So why would he be... You know, it makes no sense. I understand Central Park Five and the racism thing, but everyone, even some black people,
yeah.
that they had done
and
it.
And then he, and that
even it, some black thought they had done it.
Right.
So,
end up years later, they end up not, you know, being held responsible. But you can't hold Donald Trump. You better hold every white man in America during the fucking 80s and 90s, honey. Because everyone thought that they had done it. Everyone thought they had done
right.
it.
Right. I mean,
every single person thought they had right. done it. It makes no difference.
Right.
It makes no difference who you are.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand what people are saying. Like, oh, you know, he didn't. You know, he was being racist. Honey, racism's always existed. You want right. to put a mascot and make Trump the mascot for racism, and that's not right.
And
make
that's Obama right.
the mascot and make, you know, make Biden the Christ for Black and immigrants when he was not dealing with it in the first place. You can't right. have it both ways.
Right.
Wrong is wrong when it's wrong, and this election is a fraud.
Right.
And the numbers yeah. add up. They're not adding up. And, they're adding up perfectly. Why did it take 4 days?
Right.
It makes no and sense. Why do, wrong right. is wrong. And he won.
They would have called that man. He said it too. He said, I've been called so many names. He said, I've been called a racist. He did not. That man, if he was a racist, he would not be engaged to a Black woman. I don't care. A racist man will have sex with a Black woman, but they will not dedicate their time and love and their and
the energy they wouldn't towards put, it.
Invest in them. He was engaged. Ooh. I don't know what happened with the engagement. You know, because Donald Trump probably, you know, he was like a little playboy. She probably, you know, caught him up or whatever. But he
absolutely.
He was engaged to her for 2 years.
Well, that's a long time to be with somebody.
Right. And they trying to make it like he was so, you know, like, I said, but where was all this when he went, Jesse Jackson.
Energy then.
When Jesse Jackson then? Was trying to run for president, he gave him the money to get his campaign.
Right.
And then when Jesse Jackson went back to him to pay him, he took the check and tore it up and said, congratulations, I hope good luck with it.
My grandpa.
You know, that don't yeah, sound yeah. like somebody thank that's you. Racist.
Have a good night.
That don't sound like
that is racist. so true. This is amazing. This conversation, Antiera, I'm so thankful for you coming and joining me.
Yeah.
Because the world needs to know about the truth. The pandemic's not Donald Trump's fault.
No.
Yes, 200,000 people have died and up some more.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't control it. He did the best he could with the information that he had.
Right.
Had Joe Biden been up there in his slow self.
Right.
I mean, slow as far as his reaction.
Right.
There would have been more deaths than... And he did the best he could. And I guess everyone said he downplayed it. Maybe he did downplay it. But I don't think he knew how severe it was going to be until it started to really mark up. He may have known it. And then, oh, he has to take accountability for it. He's the main person everyone attacks. Everyone's getting all the backlash. It is so sad. And it's heart-wrenching. People are dying. And he's doing the best he can. You know, you never show your someone sweat. You don't know what he's going through behind closed doors. And what that could do to your mental health. I'm not trying to, I have to sympathize, but you have to empathize with everybody. And, you know, it was really, really hard. Now, I understand people say the racism, things like that. Okay, don't like those Trump supporters. Then don't support those people who are violent. But I won't support the people on the other side say I wish he were dead either. I can't have hatred in my heart for nobody. And I don't care who you are. I'm going to always hold you accountable. I'm always going to tell the truth. I'm always going to call you out. What they did to Donald Trump in this office and how those media attacked him, everyone saying wishing for his death. And things of that nature, we'd rather have Joe Biden. It's not right. And I don't feel uneasy. I feel uneasy. I just feel like it's wrong is wrong. And I feel like it's okay to question whether Joe Biden's in office. It's okay not to feel so sure about Trump. But honestly, I'm going to give credit to where it's due. And I'm leaning towards a more powerful leader. And that's Donald Trump. And I don't care. And I'm a Black man. I'm stating the fact that this election was a fraud. And it's wrong that we're allowing this to happen because we believe in a lie that, you know, Black Lives Matter, that, you know, all these campaigns and things that nature are basically trying to put a project onto us saying that we need this for our community, but maybe we need some tough love. And that's who he is. And I thank you all for joining me on We the People. Antiera, you know, I hope you come back again. You've been such a joy to be around. And I love you so much. Everyone, you know, share this podcast. Spread the word because the truth needs to be told. And you know what? You know, I'm not calling you like that, but I ain't calling you the damn truther either. I love y'all.